All right. Well, find in your Bibles, Exodus chapter number 20. Get my headset turned on here. There we go. Exodus chapter number 20. We are going to be back very close to where we were this morning in the Word of God, looking at these Ten Commandments as we study through the book of Exodus together. And this morning, of course, we took a look at taking the Lord's name in vain and then tried to flip that on its head a little bit and apply it to us today in a more of a lifestyle sense than just our lips. And I hope it was a help. Now we come to, we'll start reading, we'll pick up, we won't go all the way back to the beginning, but we'll pick up, we'll read a few verses, and we'll pray. We'll start in verse number 8. The Bible says, "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son nor thy daughter, thy manservant nor thy maidservant nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it." Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this day. Thank you for your word. Lord, as we study it tonight, pray please help us to see from it exactly what you would have us to understand. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right. This morning I mentioned how it seemed like taking the Lord's name in vain was something that was not considered to be a big deal anymore in our culture today. And again, tonight we find ourselves in a place where this is a commandment, one of the Ten Commandments of God, to keep Sabbath day holy, and yet so many people, it is just pulling teeth to get them to show up one time a week to church. It's just pulling teeth for them to make anything special of Sunday or of any day of the week to dedicate any time for God. So the Sabbath day command in the Bible is kind of a loaded topic. There's a few things to look at, a few things to consider, and a few debates about it from different people that really just don't study their Bible or rightly divide the word. But we are going to look at a couple of things here concerning this commandment. We're going to consider the meaning of Sabbath, the abuse of the Sabbath, the misunderstanding of it, and the 11th commandment. You guys have heard me mention the 11th commandment before. It's found here in this passage, and of course, I'm joking about that, but it's kind of true. It's a command that God gives while giving this commandment, and it's one that is often ignored in our world today. So when we think about the meaning of Sabbath and why there is a Sabbath day, why there is a day of rest, as we would call it, as we see the first meaning would be that rest. God told us to work 6 days and then rest. And you know why? Because it's tiring to work. I mean, it's work, right? That's why we call it work instead of fun, work instead of play. And you may have a job you enjoy, whatever it may be the case, but there needs to be a day where we rest, not just physically, I believe, but also a kind of a spiritual rest. Because I don't know about y'all, I'm blessed now that I don't have to work in the workforce, but I spent many years working in the workforce, and spiritually it's nice to have a day away if you're surrounded by lost people on the job. If you're surrounded by lost people on the job who are accustomed, who are taking the name of the Lord in vain, who are telling dirty jokes and just doing all kinds of things, it's nice spiritually to have a day that's away from all of that, that you can kind of have that kind of a rest as well. And so I think that rest is obviously a very big part of it. If you were to look back with me, we won't for time's sake tonight, but look back with me at Genesis, the end of chapter 1, beginning of chapter 2, you find exactly what's being referred to here, where the Lord looks at all that he has made and said it is all very good. And then he takes his rest. He has a rest on that seventh literal day of creation there. And then we have the remembrance. Now, the way the word is phrased in Exodus 20 and verse 8, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Now, we're remembering, we're not forgetting, oh, it's Sabbath day. They find it funny when somebody who claims to be a Christian, somebody who claims that Jesus Christ has saved their soul, and they've grown up in church, and then, you know, they don't show up, and you call them up, "Hey, brother, where were you?" "Oh, I just forgot it was Sunday." Well, then you're not putting a very high value on Sundays. You're not putting it's not very important to you. That's just kind of a revealing and a telling thing. And I understand people have different schedules and things like that, but the idea, you hear the phrase Sunday service is a Saturday night decision, and the idea is you prepare, you make plans to what I'm going to do on Sunday, what I'm going to do on this day of what we call the day of the Lord, the Lord's Day. It's not family day or football day or sleep-in day. It's the Lord's Day, and it's a day to keep holy. Now, on a practical note, what we find here in verse 8, remember the Sabbath what? What's that next word? Day. You mean it doesn't say the Sabbath morning? Now, y'all are here on a Sunday night, so you read that verse right and you understood it the first time. But there's a lot of people that they'll give God about an hour and that's enough. And then they'll go home and they'll spend the rest of the day on their chores or their hobbies. And I think it's funny when people say, oh yeah, Sunday's the Lord's Day and I'm not going to work on Sunday. And then what do? They go home and they work on the house. And I'm like, that's still work. Like, oh, we're not going to nitpick about this thing, but I do think that we're supposed to give God the day. Not just a little bit of the day, not just some time of the day. And it, even if you don't go back to church Sunday night, some churches don't offer that. You can't even find it in a lot of churches nowadays. But you should still in some way give God the day, the whole day. And whether that be time in prayer, whether that be time in the Bible, whether it be time calling up, witnessing to people, whatever you got to do to let it be the Lord's day instead of just the Lord's morning. I think that's important for us to remember and to consider. Now, our body, the meaning of the Sabbath day is simple. Take a day for rest. Take a day to dwell on God. And with all the distractions that this life throws our way, with all the temptations and trials that this life throws our way, we need that. We need that day that is dedicated to the Lord. We need that day to take our minds off of everything else and just focus on our God and our relationship with Him. Now, there's obviously been some abuse of the Sabbath day and of the Sabbath law that we find in Scripture. The Pharisees had kind of warped this commandment into an affair of the flesh, really, and instead of a spiritual thing, and made it to where people were literally just going through the motions. It was you must do this and must not do this, and it was just a check the box off. You know, Sabbath day, I'm not going to leave my house. Sabbath day, I'm not going to go to the store. Sabbath day, I'm not going to. And it was really nothing spiritual or personal about it. It was just, this is the law. You know, you read the law, the letter killeth and the spirit giveth life. That really is a good example here. We'll look at a couple of examples of these Pharisees and their skewed view of the Sabbath day. Turn with me to Matthew 12 and John 5. Matthew 12, John 5. And then while you're turning there, I'm going to reread a couple of verses for you and try to make a kind of point out something that I hope will help you understand what the problem was in the Pharisees' day. Matthew 12 and John chapter 5. In the command of remember the Sabbath day, keep it holy, just like with all the other commandments, so often we dumb it down to the one phrase, but there's more included in the passage concerning this commandment. It's not just remember the Sabbath day, keep it holy. There's multiple verses involved in the commandment. So what we see is in verse 10 of Exodus chapter 20, we read, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son nor thy daughter. And the list goes on. So what happened was the Pharisees took verse 10, in that day don't do any work, and they made that the important part. Instead of verse 8, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. The holiness of the day, that's the important part. And verse 10 is given as an instruction in order to help verse 8 to happen. Do you understand what I mean there? It's don't do the work, because if you're doing the work, you're not going to be able to keep the day holy. So the command, the important part of the command is not verse 10. The important part is verse 8, and verse 10 helps you to fulfill verse 8. Is everybody with me on that? We understand? All right, the Pharisees didn't, so y'all are doing pretty good. You're ahead of them on that one. Now, we find some examples here in the Bible. Matthew chapter 12, verse number Let's see, verse number 9 is where we're going to start, so I got to back up a little bit here in my Bible. Matthew 12, verse 9, the Bible says, "And when he was departed thence, he went into their synagogue, and behold, there was a man which had his hand withered, and they asked him, saying, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath days, that they might accuse him?" So the only reason they asked the question, they said, hey, we got Bob here, and Bob's got this withered hand, and this guy Jesus going around fixing people, and we want to figure out a way to accuse Christ of doing something wrong. We want to get him out of the scene and off the scene and all that. And so we got this withered hand. Bob, is he here today? Oh, yeah, he's here today. And so they asked the question, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day or not? Because they're trying to bait the Lord into doing something that they perceive as wrong. Now, verse 11, he said unto them, "What man shall there be among you that shall have one sheep, and if it fall into a pit on the Sabbath day, will he not lay hold on it and lift it out?" So he gives it right back to him. He says, "You guys don't keep the Sabbath the way that you're expecting others to. So you have some financial loss or some potential loss. You will put in some work on the Sabbath day because it makes logical sense to you or financial sense to you. We don't want to lose this sheep. We got to do this work. But yet you're going to be against somebody being healed on the Sabbath day." He's kind of showing them their hypocrisy and their prejudice for themselves and what matters to them versus what happens to others. Now, verse 12, "How much then is a man better than a sheep? Wherefore is it is lawful to do well on the Sabbath day?" So he answered their question pretty straightforward. This is one of the most straightforward answers you get from the Lord. A lot of times people would answer him a question and he would just start into a parable or something else. But here he says, it is lawful to do well on the Sabbath days. So he answers, yes. "Then saith he to the man, stretch forth thine hand. And he stretched it forth, and it was restored whole like as the other." There was a preacher at the conference this week, and he mentioned this, and he was an animated guy, and it was hilarious to watch him. You know, you'd go, whoo, and he's just showing his hand, you just saw how it was, and he what did he say? He said, "I wonder if that guy went to the Pharisees and did this." Because it's just, you know, they didn't want his hand to be fixed. And can you imagine that? You know, who would want to go to that church, right? We're all sitting here in church, and some guy comes in who claims to be the Son of God, and he's got these healing powers. Now, if that happened to this church, we'd probably all be a little like, who let that guy in? How much wine does he have? But back here, Christ preaching, teaching, healing, and all these things, and everybody in here is like, well, we've seen him heal people, and here we have a guy that needs healed, and we're going to be mad when it happens. We're going to be upset when this guy gets healed. That doesn't sound like a very close family of believers right there. And so that's I'm glad I'm not in that synagogue. But anyway, so we see here, he stretched forth the hand like the others. Verse 14, "Then the Pharisees went out and held a council against him, how they might destroy him." So they went out and said, we got to have a meeting about this thing. He's going around fixing people on the Sabbath day, and they want to destroy him for it. That's crazy. I mean, is there not worse things happening on the Sabbath day? Are there not other problems they could be dealing with? But no, Jesus healed a man on the Sabbath day, so we have to destroy him. So we see this. We see John chapter 5, which I lost my place there. John chapter 5. And this one, we'll kind of skip around a little bit because it's kind of a long read for our time tonight. But John chapter 5, starting in verse 1, "After this there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is in the Hebrew tongue, which is called in the Hebrew tongue, Bethesda, having 5 porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first after the troubling of the water stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie, he knew that he had been now a long time in that case. He saith unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered him, Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus saith unto him, Rise, take up thy bed, and walk. Immediately the man was made whole, and took up his bed, and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath." See, now this is the proper perspective. The story is about Jesus and this man, and the mention is, oh, by the way, it was Sabbath day. But the Pharisees flip it around and say, it's Sabbath day, and that's the important thing, and so therefore Jesus and this man, that's wrong. So this man's been unable to walk for 38 years, And because it was Sabbath day when he could use his legs again, for him to get up and carry his bed, which was probably just a roll of something, they said, oh, that's not lawful for you to do that. You think they could have stopped that guy? He ain't walked for 38 years and now he can walk, now he can run, now he can jump. Who in their right mind would say, you can't walk today? Like, that's not going to happen. I'm sure that guy was like, oh, yes, oh, I'm so sorry. Let me just sit back down like I've been doing for 38 years. Like, no, of course he's going to walk. And so it's crazy. But for time's sake, we won't go to the rest of it. But but we see, if you look down a little bit afterward, verse 15, the man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus which had made him whole. And therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay him, because he had done these things on the Sabbath day. But Jesus answered them, my Father worketh hitherto, and I work. Now, of course, they get even more mad because he makes himself equal with God here. This is another example of the deity of Christ and all that. But we see here the Lord says, hey, it's Sabbath day, but my Father's working, and so I'm working. You say, well, God doesn't work on Sabbath. No, God rested once. After creating the heavens and the earth in six literal days, he rested for a day. We don't have any record of God ever resting again. Does God answer your prayers on Sundays? Does God hear your prayers on Sundays? Does God work? Yeah, God works on Sabbath days. You say, oh, I never heard. Yeah, well, show me where he doesn't. I mean, I got a God that hears my prayer any day of the week. I got a God that provides for me every day of the week and blesses me every day of the week. And if he took a day off, boy, we would all be in a mess. I'm thankful that God doesn't do that. And so one more example, let's go to Mark chapter 2. Mark chapter 2, poor Luke, we didn't get to Luke for an example, but that's all right. Mark chapter 2 and verse number 23. Bible says, and it came to pass that when he went through the cornfields on the Sabbath day, and his disciples began as they went to pluck the ears of corn, and the Pharisees said unto him, behold, why do they on the Sabbath day that which is not lawful? And he said unto them, have ye never read what David did when he had need and was an hungered, he and they that were with him, how he went into the house of God in the days of Abiathar, the high priest, and did eat the shewbread, which is not lawful to eat, but for the priests, and gave also to them which were with him. And he said unto them, the Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. That really sums up the whole issue that the Pharisees had right there. So the Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. He's saying the Sabbath is not the most important thing. The Sabbath is something to help man. The Sabbath is something that if man will do this and observe this, it will help them. It's not the other way around. You don't worship the Sabbath. And so the Lord puts them in their place. Of course, over and over again, it just seems like the Lord purposely would do things on the Sabbath day just to ruffle the feathers of the Pharisees, it seemed. But anyways, we'll digress from that. Now, we get to this. We understand that there was some confusion about the Sabbath day back then. People were making it more than it ought to have been. They were not allowing things to happen on Sabbath day that should have been a rejoicing thing, like healing. And they were after Christ, wanted to kill him for healing on the Sabbath day and all these different things. And so I think it's kind of funny today. You know, we have those that care nothing about it and clearly don't make it a holy thing, which is absolutely wrong. But then you still have some people who take it to a pretty far extreme about what they will, you know, how they observe Sabbath day. And it's like they never read any of these passages in the Bible. And it's like, it's okay. You can get up and drive to church on Sabbath day. That's not working. You're all right. And we got to this portion now, and most of you probably don't know one, but there are a group of people out there. Seventh-day Adventist is one of the main groups where they believe that we are not properly worshiping or observing Sabbath day. I have had somebody tell me that I am not saved because I have church on Sunday. I didn't read that part in the Romans Road, but apparently they did. And so their idea was they claim that Saturday is when church ought to be held because it's the seventh day of the week and that's the day that the Lord rested. And in Jewish history and all that, yeah, I get that. That's absolutely right. If I was a Jew, that would matter. If you all in here were Jews, that would matter. That would be your Sabbath day. But the Sabbath day and the day when we meet for church are different. And the reason for that is We don't go based off of the Old Testament law of the Sabbath because we are not under law but under grace. We are not the Jews but the church. We are not Israel. We're the church and we're not the same thing. And so we look at the Bible and say, okay, when did Christians meet? And we can see some things here. Mark chapter 16. Well, no, we won't go to that one. Acts chapter 20. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. In Mark 16, it's just an interesting thing to note that the Bible mentions in at least three of the Gospels that the day that Christ arose was the first day of the week. And I think that's interesting to note. And you think, why would the Lord find it important to put that down there? Well, and then you get into this debate and you realize why. Acts chapter 20, verse number 7, the Bible says, "And upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow." So here we have the disciples coming together on the first day of the week. Now, if you turn with me to 1 Corinthians 16, which I didn't do, but should have, 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse number 2, the Bible says, "Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come." So we have the church meeting on the first day of the week. We have the church taking up collections on the first day of the week. And we have Christ resurrecting on the first day of the week. And there's a pretty solid theme all throughout the New Testament of the first day of the week being when believers gather. And so that's, we have church on Sunday, the first day of the week. So you can say, well, that's not the true Sabbath. Okay, well, are you a true Jew or are you a Christian? Because it doesn't really matter. It doesn't really matter if you're meeting on Saturday versus Sunday, too, because that's the true Sabbath of Israel. Well, then you ought to be following the dietary laws, too, because they're just as important as the Sabbath right now. It's not the same thing. Now, keeping it holy and keeping it the Lord's Day and having a day set aside for God, absolutely, we do that. We just do it on Sunday because that's what the disciples did. That's what Christ implied, and that's what we see in the Scripture. So there are those that will go off and on a tangent about that, but we don't look to Israel for what to do. We look to what did the church do, because we are the church. We are not Israel. They're not the same thing. And so then we understand that we ought to be meeting on Sunday. That's why we meet on Sundays. We ought not work that day except for something good in God's name. Everybody's got different opinions about where to draw the line for Sabbath day for work. I would say, obviously, don't work on Sundays. I remember it used to be a more prevalent thing that people would not go out to eat on Sundays because that would be causing others to work. People kind of went away from that because they realized, well, others are working anyways, and the food's good, and I don't want to go home and make food. And so things have kind of changed. Convictions have kind of changed. The Bible doesn't say, don't go to a restaurant on Sunday. We don't see that. But I've had people tell me it's wrong to hand out tracts on Sunday because it's the day, it's the Lord's Day, day of rest. And I understand that you're not resting. I get that. But the Lord said it's lawful to do good on Sabbath day. And so if we're going to go by Christ's definition, then doing something good for God on Sabbath day, I think is entirely acceptable. Now, do I want to spend Sunday afternoon knocking on doors? Not always, because guess what? Sundays are tiring days for me. and that's not always the best thing to do. But that's where, again, I feel like when it comes to the Ten Commandments, when it comes to the Sabbath day, we take what we can from it and we leave what is specific to Israel with Israel. We leave the context in its proper context. We do not meet on Saturdays. We meet on Sundays because we're not Israel. We're the church. And you don't even have to call it Sabbath if you want. Just call it Sunday because it's the day that we meet together for church. But the main thing that we need to do is keep it holy. Keep it holy and keep it dedicated to God. And that's what people are so often failing to do. They're failing to schedule their schedules around God's day. They're failing to show up to services. They're failing to set aside time for the Lord. And it's just, okay, well, God, you can maybe have a couple hours on a Sunday morning every other week. And it's shameful how far we've gotten away from reverencing God and His law. I mean, you think about, that's what we talked about this morning is it really just shows a lack of reverence for God when people use His name in vain. It's the same thing when Christians think, well, I can just go to church two or three times a month and I'm fine. Yeah, I mean, you maybe not fall into apostasy right away or anything, but God said, forsake not the assembling yourselves together. God said, we see a standard of them meeting on Sundays. And if you're going to be nitpicky about, well, the Bible doesn't say that you have to meet more than once a week. If you're going by the New Testament standard of when the believers met, they met every day. So you don't want to start that fight because you're going to go in the wrong direction there. You say, okay, well, show me in the Bible where they met more than once a week. Okay, there's a lot of places that show us that they met very more often than we do. And people say, well, why isn't God moving the way he did then? Thousands getting saved, churches starting and popping up. Now, there's a lot of reasons, but I'd say one of them might be because we're barely here. Christians as a whole barely show up, barely get involved, barely get connected. I mean, it's supposed to be a family of believers. It's supposed to be a body of Christ. And yet, you know, if your finger was only connected to your body 2 hours out of the week, that'd be a little weird. You wouldn't be able to get much done. You wouldn't feel very cohesive with that finger. You'd say, there's a problem here. But we think it's so normal to just have our life and then our church life. And just to be so separated and so not involved when that's not what it's supposed to be. It's supposed to have a body of believers, a family of believers that work together and don't just only care about one another once a week, if that. And so people have definitely taken that and just gone to the wayside with that for the most part. But it doesn't change what we ought to do. Now, if you will turn back with me to Exodus, we will one more time show you the 11th commandment. In Exodus chapter 20, verse 8, of course, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Verse 9, 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. That's the 11th commandment. 6 days shalt thou labor. That's a definitive statement. Now, in America today, you're lucky if somebody works maybe 5 days. And people act as though it's some horrible thing to have to work at all. Like, oh, I had to go to work today. Yeah, that's kind of the way God designed this thing. Because you know what happens when you work couple days a week, and then you have 5 days to do whatever you want to do. What are the things you do? You spend 5 days in prayer? You spend 5 days on your knees or in your Bible? Typically, no. Most people, when left to themselves, don't really use the time for the Lord. So you know what the Lord did with Israel? He said, here's your rule. You work for 6 days, and the seventh day, you do nothing but sit around and think of me. And that doesn't really leave a lot of time for them to get into trouble. Idle hands, right? Idle hands, the devil play things. And so we see this concept of working 6 days a week, spending a day focused on God, and we see what happens when people don't work. Now we see it in our culture today. We see the ramifications of it, but I want to show you a couple of verses before we end tonight. Proverbs chapter 19 and Ecclesiastes chapter 10. Proverbs 19, Ecclesiastes 10. This topic to some degree came up in a sermon recently, and we talked about how the only time you find busybodies in the Word of God is when people aren't working. There's one verse containing the word busybody for men and one for women, and both of them are when they're not working. Proverbs chapter 19, verse number 15. Slothfulness casteth into a deep sleep, and an idle soul shall suffer hunger. Used to be, you'd see, I remember, I say used to be like I'm some old timer, but I feel like it sometimes, but used to be you'd see the signs, you know, will work for food, right? That was the concept. I'm poor, I'm needy, I'm hungry, I'm going to do work for you for food. I wonder how many times in history that's ever happened. I mean, really, you pull up to one of those people and you say, okay, I got a deck project in the back of my house. You want to come and I'll give you a burger. I guarantee you they would probably cuss you out from my experience with those people. Now, some people in that situation are whatever. You know, we won't get into that today. But the idea is, you know, well, we're hungry. Well, most of them are hungry because they spent their money on drugs, spent their money on booze, spent their money away on all kinds of just frivolous living and made bad choices. And now they're hungry because they didn't go to work. They got fired because they showed up to work drunk. They got fired because they showed up to work 2 days after they were supposed to show up to work because they couldn't remember the last 2 days. I mean, some of you guys are employers in here. You know how bad the workforce is right now, how hard it is to find good workers. And so we see slothfulness. It leads to hunger. Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse number 18. Ecclesiastes 10:18. By much slothfulness, the building decayeth, and through idleness of the hands, the house droppeth through. Now, this one, I know, there was a church that I went to, stopped by, actually the first time we ever visited here. We visited here while we were here. I got a call from a church that wanted me to stop in and talk to them on the way. It was right on the way back home. It was like a 1 mile detour. So I was like, all right, we'll stop in. We'll see what that's all about. Big old church, big old property. And you could tell the place had not been touched since the 60s. I mean, it was something in its day, but it was falling apart. I mean, the property was unkept. The building was unkept. Everything was dusty. Rooms were boarded up. It could have been this huge work for God. It could have had a whole school in it. I mean, it was a big one time, I'm assuming, thriving property, but nothing was happening. It was just falling apart. Nobody was taking care of it. And you see homes like that. You go on visits and you go into people's homes and you see that there's, you know, people just, they're just not taking care of their house. Their house is falling apart around them, and they're just not doing the necessary work. And the Bible says part of that is laziness. It's something that people just don't want to work. And you know, we tie this into this commandment because it's so important, especially for our culture today, to snap awake and realize God expects and God plans and God designed for us to be working with our lives and serving Him. And that's it. We're not supposed to have a ton of free time, because what we do with that free time often is what gets us into trouble. And so, you know, and when you talk about working, you say, well, I'm retired. Okay, work for the Lord. Do something, find something you can do that is beneficial to God, something that you can do in that way. And so we see this idea all throughout the scripture. We won't go to all the references. 2 Thessalonians 3:10 says, for even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. Boy, you run politically on that promise. You'd get my vote, but it'd be probably one of the only ones. You would not win. If any would not work, neither should he eat. For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. Now then that are such, we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ, that with quietness they work and eat their own bread. When you talk about keeping the Sabbath day holy, part of the conversation, you got to look at the whole passage. You can't just look at the one verse. The whole passage is about the Sabbath day. And part of it is, you do your labor in 6 days. And the idea of that also, you know, people say, oh, I was too busy. I had this to do or that to do. I had to mow the lawn. I couldn't go to church. Why? Because they weren't doing their labor on the days that they were given to do their labor. You have 6 out of 7 days to do whatever labor needs done. That seventh day is God's. But people don't, they get so many pastimes and so many hobbies and so many kids' sports games and all this other stuff crowding in their schedule. And then they have to take a day away. And I can't take a day off work. And so what do they lose? They lose God's day. And so now all of the optional things, all of the things that aren't necessary for our life or for obedience to God, those things have now outweighed God's day. And our work has outweighed God's day. And now God's day is the last in the line of what's important. We are to rearrange our schedules if something conflicts with meeting with the Lord's people. That's how it's supposed to be. We're not supposed to say, well, I'll see you next Sunday if we have something else going on. You know, there's a ball game and I've got a ticket. Well, okay, we'll sell your ticket and give the proceeds to your church for even buying it. But today, just like with taking the name of the Lord in vain, we don't reverence God enough to say, I'm going to set aside this time for Him. Even if there's people listening online from around different places, even if there's no church for you to go to on Sunday night, like Brother Bill Dublin, he moved away from here to Texas, hadn't been able to find a real good solid church, and so he watches us online. But guess what? He watches online Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, because it's God's day, not just God's morning. I know this is nothing new for everybody tonight. I know we all understand this. We're all here, Sunday night crowd. I know it's one of those that should be a Sunday morning message type messages. But it's a reminder to us to hold that line, to not give in to that and say, well, it's really not that important anymore. And well, it's really, you know, it's going by the wayside. So many churches are closing their doors, and it starts on Wednesday nights. They start by not having their midweek service. Go outside the Baptist church and find me a midweek service. That's going to be a challenge, because there's not very many denominations that even ever had that, but have that anymore. And even within the Baptist church, where the Baptist church is, it's hard to find now. You move to a different town, different city, you start calling around, who has church Wednesday night? No, not us. Sunday mornings, Sunday nights. I remember my dad and I, we were working in Iowa. We were Shenandoah, Iowa, way over towards Nebraska, and working there. And there was one year we were there. I remember looking up, trying to find a church, trying to find a King James Bible preaching, independent, fundamental Baptist church. And I drove, I believe it was a Sunday night, took one of the cars and drove up to some other town like a half hour away. And I went to this church, and they were closed. And I was like, all right, well, let me find another one. I drove around, another one closed. And there was just, I drove until finally, like 20 minutes into service, I found a church that was open, had service. There were four people in there, the pastor and three congregants, and then I was the fifth. And it was sad, because this was a big town. It was like a Butler-sized town. And that was the only church I could find that was open on a Sunday night. And that's the direction we're going, because people aren't prioritizing the day that God has given. You know, you don't want to go to Wednesday. I get that. It's not the Sabbath day. I understand that. But why can't we give God one day? I mean, really, what is it that's so important that we have to just say, well, I can't go to church this week? Sometimes things happen once in a great while, but it ought to be the exception, not the rule. It ought to not be a surprising thing to see a Christian show up to church service. Like, well, you guys were here last week and this week. Wow. We ought not be surprised by that. But sometimes somebody walks in that door, and Brother Ken and I, sometimes we'll look at each other, oh, why are they here today? We try not to make it obvious, you know, but that ought not be the case. We ought to be setting aside that day, keeping it holy. I know it's a rule for Israel. I know the Ten Commandments are God's commandments to Israel, but is a thing that we see into the New Testament. And if we say, okay, well, that was Israel, we don't have to meet like that. Okay, then we're going New Testament. We're meeting every day. We're going from house to house, breaking bread, spending time together, and serving the Lord together. We want to go that route? Who's going to sign up? Who's first? Who's going to be Monday night's church service? Anybody volunteers, you know? Yeah, that's not what people want. And so it gauges the temperature of the spirituality of our nation to see how many people still make Sunday the Lord's Day. I remember a lot of businesses used to not be open on Sunday. Now it's very rare for anybody to be closed, because nobody cares anymore. The Christians don't care anymore. We'll gladly treat Sunday as any other day of the week, and that's not the way it should be. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this day. Thank you for your word. Lord, I know it's a little bit different kind of message tonight, and I don't think anybody here really would struggle with this trouble, but Lord, there's other things in our lives that Lord, we thank you for the commands that you've given us. Lord, we do need to take time to work on our relationship with you. Lord, we need to take time to fellowship with other believers. We need to take time and set it aside for the things of you. Lord, help us to continue to do that. And Lord, help us to encourage others to do that as well. Lord, help us to be able to show others why it's so important to set aside time for you every week, Lord. We love you. Thank you for all you do for us. Help us be a good witness and testimony to you this week. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Brother Ken.